Amen. That was good. That was powerful singing there. Thank you, Mrs. Flores. Please stand with me, if you will, and turn your Bibles to Proverbs and just kind of maybe turn to chapter 12 to start off with. I'm going to read two verses there, but before I do, I'm going to read in 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. It is a great joy of mine to be able to be with you behind this pulpit tonight and be able to preach. I always appreciate the opportunities that we get in ministry to serve the Lord. And my intention this morning is to be an encouragement. And I hope that that will be accomplished tonight. 1 John chapter 4, while you guys are in Proverbs 12. And if you're really fast, you can turn to all my scriptures, right? And we'll see if you can keep up. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 5, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So here we see that those that have the characteristic of being worldly, they speak in a worldly manner. That is, they have a different perspective. They have a worldly perspective. Proverbs chapter 12, and you're there now. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In this passage of scripture, we see that a foolish man has a very specific perspective, and he thinks that he is right because he is right in his own eyes. All right, Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14, verse number 12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, the Bible doesn't say foolish man here, wise man, simple man, it just says a man. So, what I can draw from this and what we can draw from this tonight is that there can be a way that seems right to Charlie Chim. There can be a way that seems right to you. You place your name there. But the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, I can think that in my perspective, my point of view, I'm making the right decisions, or this is best for me and my family. But ultimately, the Bible tells us the end thereof are the ways of death, right? We want to avoid that. Let's go ahead and pray tonight. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to open up thy word. Your word is precious. Your word is gold. And the truth of the matter is, whenever we choose to open thy word and we choose to hear it and position ourselves to receive blessings from it, we have great advantage in life. And tonight is no different. Thank you for your people that are here tonight. The house is full. Your house is full. And I pray, dear God, that our hearts will be receptive to the message at hand. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The title of tonight's message is Coexisting with Differing Perspectives. Coexisting with differing perspective. By the way, this is a very unique message for me to preach. I'll be honest with you, this is probably a message that many would agree that belongs to a Thursday night, but I believe that this is something that'll be a help to us, and I hope that it will. What does perspective mean? The definition for perspective is a particular attitude toward or way regarding something. A particular attitude toward or way regarding something. In other words, your perspective and my perspective in a matter is our opinion or point of view concerning that matter. Some, if not most of us, share the same perspective on many things. For example, what life is. I think many of us share the Bible view of life, right? Life is a vapor. It comes and it goes. It appears and then it vanisheth away. Also, we may think about life is that life is to be lived for God, amen? Life is not something that we take and we keep to ourselves or we spend in our own way, but life is something to be given back to God, to be lived for him. Why? We may agree on this, because God is the giver and taker of life. God is the giver and taker of life. I'll never forget, we were on the job site, and there was a family here, a father and son team, and I remember Pastor told me to go talk to the son, and he was real outgoing and real friendly, at least initially he was. And we were sitting around the table, and he was talking about how his grandma was like 108 years old or something like that, and grandpa was like, you know, just as old, and they were healthy, and they didn't need a walker, and they were just super, just in shape. And I was like, wow, you are so fortunate. You know why? Because you're gonna live to be a very long time. Why? Because your heritage, right, the bloodline. And all of a sudden, his tune changed. It went from, oh yeah, grandma's this old and grandpa's that old to, that's not Bible. I was like, well, what are you talking about? He goes, the Bible says that God, you know, he's the one that could take away our candlestick. And he started ripping into me. Pastor Esposito sitting over there like, oh, man. He's like walking further and further away. And I wanted to say something back to him, amen. But at the same time, the pastor was right there. My job was on the line. And he asked me to be a blessing. However, I understand, sir, wherever you are, yes, God is the giver and taker of life, right? Doesn't matter how old our parents are. It doesn't matter how bad of shape they may be in. If God wants you to live longer, you can live longer, okay? All right, so we may agree on that. What else do we agree on or have the same perspective on? Who God is. Many of us in here, if not all of us, believe and have the perspective that God is merciful, right? He doesn't give us what we deserve, right? Anything that we think we deserve, he shows mercy in those areas. Thank God, a great example of that is hell. Because of our sin, what? We deserve to go to hell. But because of his mercy, we don't have to. We can accept what he did on the cross for us. Also, we may agree that he is long-suffering. What does that mean? He's very patient, especially when it comes to our wrongdoing. You know, I don't know about you, but when someone wrongs me, I have a tendency to kind of like, hey, hold on here. Don't be doing stuff like that, right? Because of my lack of long-suffering. But God, as just as he is, and we'll get to that in a moment, he's very long-suffering. Many of us in here can think about times that we've sinned and feel that, man, at any time, God can take my life away. At least that's what I deserve. But yet he gives us an opportunity to get right with God so often. God is long-suffering. We ought to rejoice in that. And then also, he is powerful. Let's never forget that God is not a little g God, meaning that he is a capital G God. He is a big God. And the truth of the matter is, the problems that we have in life largely can be tied to the fact of how we view our Savior. Our lack of faith, if we don't have the faith to serve God with our whole heart, that's generally because we don't believe that God is big. If we don't tithe, it's generally because we don't think God is big. If we're not being faithful in our marriage and understanding that there's a big enough God out there that will punish you for mistreating your spouse, it's ultimately because of how we view the Lord. The same applies with our relationship with our kids in service and maybe not wanting them to live for God in any capacity because we don't think God is that big. But I believe most of us, if not all of us in here, agree that God is powerful and that God is just. While it is often convenient to share the same perspective on things, some of us may have a different perspective on other things. Let's talk about something a little bit more fun. Food, amen? Let's talk about food here. I need some class participation here. All right, when it comes to steak, all right, how many guys like steak, amen? A lot of us have a different perspective or a different point of view. I'm gonna find out right now just to find out who's normal and who's not. How many of you guys like your steak medium rare? Raise your hand, don't be shy. I need some help here. Boy, look at all those hands there. That looks like 100% of the crowd. Just kidding, 99%. Thank you for putting two hands up there. You're a good man. How many of you guys like your steak well done? I just wanna see. I'm so sorry for just kidding. By the way, you have the right to overuse your teeth. That's fine, okay? I have no problem with that. God gave you teeth, okay? By the way, on a serious note, you have the right to eat the steak however is most delicious to you, all right? We differ in that area, okay? When it comes to vegetables, some of us have the perspective and point of view that they're super healthy, all right? Other people are of this point of view. It's a waste of space, okay? Seriously. Man, why would I buy a big old head of cauliflower and roast it in the oven when I can just roast a steak? Hello, all right? There's plenty of vitamins in there, I'm sure. Okay, when it comes to organic food, I'm not gonna ask who buys organic food because everyone's gonna wanna raise their hand and be a part of that select group, okay? I shopped at Whole Foods one time, that was it, all right? I felt like, man, I don't make enough money to walk in this place. I felt like everyone's gonna walk around. I have to like park my car way far, you know, just make sure. But organic food, some people believe that, man, it's a matter of 10 extra years of life or not. Other people, it's a waste of money. It's a gimmick, okay? Actually, Brother Jerry gave me some organic apples this morning, and they're very good, okay? You know why? Because they were free, amen? That was a blessing right there. He did tell me about some organic pomegranates that's due in November. I put that on my Google calendar, all right? So I'll be hitting you up in November there. But we may differ when it comes to that. Here's something a little bit more serious, child rearing. We may have a different perspective on child rearing, right? Some of us may think, you know what? The child, he'll grow out of it. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And by the way, that's a Bible verse and that's a good verse, but not to be applied in the sense of just let the kid continue to be foolish. Okay, oh, let him alone. Give him a couple years. I mean, I reckon by the time he gets to 30 years old, he should be fine, okay? He shouldn't be able to feel anything touch him that resembles a wooden spatula or whatsoever. That might damage his psyche, okay? That might be someone's perspective out there. Someone else's perspective, at least my perspective, is, listen, the rod is your friend, all right? The rod is there to drive it out, drive out that foolishness. Now, not being abusive and whatnot, but it is there to correct the child. That perspective differs from the first one. When it comes to marriage, finances in marriage, I've learned this, and I don't work with couples as much as Pastor Myers does, but the limited time that I have, a lot of people's problems are tied to their finances. And they don't realize it. They think it's this, they think it's that, but because of their finances, they're in such a rut, they owe so much money, everything else becomes a big deal, all right? Oh, how dare you? You know, you only make this much and you need to spend all this and that, the other. It's like, good night. But if you differ, maybe a few of us differ in this area of finances, right? Some of us believe that that credit card, that balance is my money, okay? That's mine. It says I have a limit of $8,000. Guess what? That's my money. All right, other people understand that's not your money, okay? Other people, maybe we have different perspectives on problem solving in marriage, right? Some people run to their parents. Uh-oh, all right, there's a problem. Oh, you know what? Well, let's find out what my dad thinks, all right? What my mom thinks. And we're getting everybody involved because in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And maybe we start using Bible verses, amen? All of a sudden, we create big problems. But other people, listen, it's just me and you. So let's just stay in separate rooms, amen? No, it's just me and you. Let's deal with this. This marriage is going to be built upon trust and learning how to figure things out, okay? And then when it comes to responsibilities in marriage, right? There are some marriages out there, and I'm not going to say which is right or wrong because I don't want to offend people, but some people may say, you know what? You're the woman. You need to do anything that involves sweeping and cleaning and washing and diaper changing, and I can never touch any of that stuff. I'm the man. Oil changes and drilling, hammering things, and that is it. Never ask me to help out with the diaper, God forbid. Never ask me to do this. Never ask me to help fold the laundry, God forbid. And can I tell you something? We may differ when it comes to that, when it comes to perspective on responsibilities in marriage. When it comes to abiding by the laws of the land, there's going to be some of us that agree in the fact that, hey, let's abide by all the laws in the land. And man, we're not going to be perfect, but we shouldn't disobey a law on purpose. But other people may have the perspective that, listen, I'll be a good citizen as long as it's convenient for me, right? Oh, you know what? If I cheat on my taxes, I still tithe. I still do right. It's okay. God knows. God is bigger than Uncle Sam, okay? And we start to rationalize and justify all these things because of our perspective. Full-time Christian ministry. Well, you know what? That's great for those people that grew up in Christian homes, but you know what? I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so God cannot use me in full-time service. All right? We have our own perspective when it comes to that. I'd like to answer three questions concerning perspective that will dramatically help you in your daily relationships and responsibilities in life. The first question I'd like to answer is that, where does our perspective come from? You ever wonder, where does it come from? The first place it comes from is personal experience. Can everybody say personal experience? This is our upbringing, childhood. How you grew up matters. And by the way, I know sometimes we try to block out our childhood memories, right? Those were not good memories, right? For some of us, right? Mom, mine were wonderful. Okay, she's right there. I got to make sure I'm careful here. Our childhood drastically affects our outlook on life. Were we rich? Were we poor? It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Our perspective on the dollar is very different when you're rich or poor, okay? When you're rich, you blow your nose with a $5 bill. When you're poor, you save that thing, okay? You wash it and you disinfect that thing. You keep that thing forever. It will affect our perspective. Strict home or spoiled home? You can't do this. You can't do that. Or go ahead. You can. You can. You can, okay? Angry home or happy home? I can't believe you spilled the water. Wow, you spilled the water. Spill it again, son. Or whatever it may be, okay? Whatever the situation is, that will affect your perspective. Unsaved or saved? If you grew up in a home that's unsaved, the values that you've learned and maybe the values that your parents taught may not, in most cases, line up with that of a Christian home, all right? And as much as we try to refute that in our minds, well, that didn't affect me, that is part of what draws up your perspective. Next, job experience. If you have experience in a warehouse or experience as an office job or sales job or collecting workers' comp, okay? Whatever it may be, you have a perspective like, wow, this is nice, okay? This is wonderful. If that's your suits your fits the bill, all right, go for it. Next, ministry experience. For those of us that work in the bus ministry, we have a different perspective. The college students that give their lives to the bus ministry, they have a different perspective about the kids that come here to church, right? As opposed to maybe someone that doesn't. And I don't think anyone has this mindset, but maybe someone might have this mindset of, wow, there's just so many kids. They're kind of running in front of me. And, you know, they bumped me. They didn't say sorry. Or they asked me for a dollar again. Well, just say that you look like you have money. I mean, just take it as a compliment. But the bus workers don't think that way. The bus workers think, well, that's the future right there. That is somebody that's life can be salvaged, turn around for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can do something great for him. Why? Because of their perspective. Adult ministry. Some people think that the bus ministry, amen, is the best. We heard about this division yesterday, okay? However, those that are in the adult ministry, maybe in their perspective is, you know what? It's all about the adults. I know churches that get rid of bus ministries because they don't think that the kids are important. They think it's all about the adults. I think everybody's important, all right? However, we understand the adult ministry is generally the ministry that is going to fund the church, all right? Bus kids can tie too, amen? So that is important. Those that went on missions trips, this is all introduction. All right, if you go into the mission field and you've seen people just getting saved left and right, your perspective about ministry may be different than those of us that are here that are knocking on doors and begging people to get. It may be different. It may be different. But that's where we get our perspective from. We also draw our perspective from our education. Okay, and this is not one that's always popular, but if you had a secular education, I hate to tell you, but you have been influenced in some way, whether you believe it or not, or carry a Bible to class or not. You have been educated by secular professors that share or hold or teach a secular perspective. Okay? And this is very important because I think sometimes we think that we talk about this to put down those that end up going. We're not putting anybody. If anything, it's one key word, protection. Protection. Because how many times do our good, young, godly young people go off to some place and they end up getting answers to questions that they should never ask? You know, why do your parents go to church every week? And initially it's, oh yeah, we love God. And then after a while it's like, I don't know, God hasn't really done a whole lot in our family lately. And over time, and then they're being taught things that we would never teach, all of a sudden because of that secular perspective, it becomes a part of their own. All right, we got to be careful. It's protection. And then next, Bible-based. If you had a Bible-based education, which is what we are all about and what the Bible is all about, we can learn to have an eternal perspective. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You say, what does that mean? If you are a Christian that has had a Bible-based education, you understand that we are not just living this world for this world, but we are living this world for eternity. With eternity in mind. And that's a great sermon for another day. What else affects our perspective? Our current place in life. Are you a dad? Are you a mom? You have a different perspective regarding children than maybe a single person, right? Single people, I've noticed, I've learned most of them, they get very irritated with kids. You know, it's like, oh, you know what? That kid's just whining all the time. But a parent kind of understands, right? Before I was married and before I had kids, I thought that all parents made this excuse for their kids when they were bad. Oh, he's just tired, right? Oh, you already knew where I was going with that. He's just a little sleepy. Man, all throughout the day, someone's giving that kid melatonin all throughout the day, man, because he's always tired. But as a parent, we understand that that's not a valid excuse to use all the time, but there's moments where, especially when mom and dad are always on the go, kids need their nap, right? Kids need to have a schedule. Different perspective. In her column, Ask Marilyn, Marilyn Vos Savant, gave an interesting perspective on contentment. One reader wrote in about a unique experiment she had conducted after being dissatisfied that her neighbor's yard looked better than her own. She did what few have done and walked next door to look back at her own grass. When she stood in her neighbor's yard, the grass in her own yard now looked greener than theirs. So she asked, "Why does this occur?" Marilyn replied, "The grass looks greener on the other side of the fence because you're not close enough to see the dirt. Most of the time, things look better for others simply because we can't see their dirt." You know, some of the best pictures that I love of myself are the ones that are far away. Amen. Add a little blur. I'm not into these 4K cameras. No one needs to see this 4K. Okay? If it's going to be a family portrait, you know, let me put some filters on there too. You know, not those crazy ones that you're like, you know, you're dark like me and also you're white. You know, no, I'm not talking about that. But, you know, when you're close to something, you can observe the imperfections, right? Sometimes we're discontent in our marriage. Why? Because we're looking at other people's marriages, not from the inside of their home, but from the outside, right? And we have a different perspective from our current place in life. All right, where else do we get our perspective from? Not only personal experience, but peers. These are associations. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. So the first verse tells us that our friends will sharpen us. What does that mean? They will rub off on us. The second verse tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. I can be raised up with good manners. I can have godliness written all over my life. But if I communicate with evil people, it's going to rub off on me. Have you ever been around someone that complains or has a bad attitude? And after time, you're just kind of like, why am I starting to say that word? Or why am I doing that? Especially in sports. I used to go play at the park when I was younger with some people from our church. But I stopped doing that against these unsaved people. Here's why. And I know if you want to go lead them to the Lord, that's great. But for me, I didn't cuss, but I like almost wanted to. Okay? Because every time that I would foul them or something, they'd say something. And I just get really mad. It's like, oh, good night. Why am I getting all in the flesh right now? Why am I upset? Because I'm rubbing shoulders with people that respond in that way. Okay? And so evil communications corrupt good manners. Next, many of the appetites we have, we learn from a friend. Funny illustration. I don't know if Anthony's here today. I know sometimes he works during this time. Anthony, him, and a couple other guys from our school. We took him to Greenfields, and they were of the mindset that well done is the way that Jesus prefers it because he says, well done, my child, amen. And steak, when it comes to steak, I'm sorry. We went to Greenfields. How many of you guys ever been to Greenfields? It's a pretty okay Brazilian restaurant over there. And so I took him there, and then they told me they wanted the steak well done, but everything that they were bringing out at the time was like medium rare. And they're like, oh, the blood, Brother Jim, that's so yucky. It's moving right now. You know what teenagers do. They start making these mooing sounds and all that stuff. And then very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. And so, sure enough, I'm like, listen, boys, I'm not taking you home until you try a piece of medium rare. He said, I can't believe as a youth worker you would do that. Sorry, I did. And so we cut it off and then put it on their plate. And there's the, you know, it's not called blood. I forgot. Brother Nick told me the name of it. It starts with the M. Anyone know the name of it? Anyways, juice. There you go. Anyhow, so he started to cut into it. And I remember Anthony grabbed that rare or medium rare piece of meat, and he was so hesitant. He put it in his mouth, and that hesitance turned into joy. Oh, it's gone. It's gone. Normally, I do the 22 rule, but it's gone now. After like 4 chews, wow, my mouth doesn't hurt anymore. Praise God for that. This is a wonderful thing. I can witness to more people now, amen? I can serve the Lord. This is great. And can I tell you something? From my understanding, he hasn't gone back to well done, okay? He has stuck with medium rare. Sometimes our friends can rub off on us. The first time I had sushi, or good sushi, I remember, I think I was with the Becks, and they showed it to me. I'm like, I got no time to be, listen, okay, I had aquariums all my life, right? I'm not trying to eat the fish like right when it comes out of the tank or cook that thing or something. Give me some oil and soy sauce or something. And sure enough, I tried it. And at first, you know, you try to have that mindset of, ew, this is yucky, but then in the back of your mind, it actually wasn't. I have no reason to hate it. I actually love it. Okay. And then you saw the price, like one piece is like $7. No, I don't love it. All right. This is not good. But can I tell you something? Your friends can rub off on you when it comes to perspective. Now, here's a more sad illustration. How many guys know the name Amnon, right? Amnon had a cousin named Jonadab. And Amnon, he had a problem. He was lusting after his sister. But I'll be honest with you, up to that point in the story, he did not have any intention on doing anything bad to his sister. It was just a thought. It was corrupt. I think we can all agree on it. It was his half-sister, not that that would justify anything. But Amnon had this thought that, wow, she's pretty. I'm attracted to her. But that's about it. But then the Bible says Jonadab came along, his friend, his cousin. By the way, be careful about who influences our children. And the Bible says, in a sense, they mapped out a plan on how Amnon can take this thought, this sinful thought, and turn it into reality. So at first, he didn't think that he would ever, the Bible says he thought it, what? Hard to do anything to his sister. But you know what can help something that is hard become easy? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Come by and change your perspective on the matter. You're the king's son. You should be able to have anybody that you want. And as a result, he ended up losing his life. And we're not going to get into that. So you get your perspective from peers, from a personal experience, from pride, our selfishness. We allow our selfishness and pride to alter our perspective. What do you mean by that? Because we are in sin, we stop looking badly at sin. You know, if we are sitting there doing immoral things, we're not going to talk about immorality in the same way that the Bible talks about immorality. Why? Because we don't want to feel bad about it. Right? If we are doing any other sin, lying or stealing or whatever it may be, or being abusive with our words, now our perspective on it is, well, you know, we are human. No one's perfect. I mean, give the kid a break. He's lying, but maybe he just has a hard time expressing himself. Okay? By the way, I've heard a lot of crazy things. Right? Why? Because it just comes from a perspective that I don't believe is correct. When it comes to service for the Lord, well, you know what? The full-time Christian workers, they're the ones that ought to do all the soul winning. They're the ones that ought to do all the work. They're the one I need to just show up in church and be fed, and that's about it. Some people have that perspective. Why? Because of their pride and their selfishness. They don't want to help out. They don't want to get involved. When it comes to sacrifice, I don't need to support the church. I'm already coming here, and it's not time, talent, and treasure. You just got to pick whichever one fits your boat. No, the Bible speaks on all of them, that we ought to give all of them sacrificially. When it comes to separation, well, you know what? I mean, look at these Christians over here. They're not necessarily separated, and they seem to have their prayers answered. By the way, we don't know that. They look like their churches are big and filled. Look at their pictures on Instagram. They're smiling. They don't have the same standards that we do here at Pacific Baptist Church. We must be missing something here. Well, your perspective is going to change if you're drifting away in the area of separation. You know, at one point, you're like, bless God, we're to be separated. That doesn't mean that we don't drink water like the world does or whatever it may, or something goofy like that. But it just means I'm going to live right. I'm going to live holy. I'm gonna do good. I'm going to exemplify what a Christian should be. When it comes to sanctification, what does that mean? The process of becoming Christ-like. You know, some people say we're never going to be perfect. So, you know, we're under grace. And what that means is we can live how we want because the grace of God. Remember, he's long-suffering. Remember, he's merciful. No, we ought to strive to be more like Christ every single day. So that's where we get our perspective from. Number two, the second question I'd like to answer is, what are the dangers of not understanding perspective properly? What are the dangers? Well, the first danger I'd like to point out is more disagreements. More disagreements. You realize that one of the main reasons why we disagree, talking about me and you, talking about me and my wife, right, talking about me and my mom, my dad, whoever. The reason why we disagree and sometimes find ourselves in arguments is because of not understanding this thing of perspective. We get frustrated when others don't see it from our perspective. I feel like I'm all alone right now. You don't see it? It's right there, clear as day. I remember that video that we showed up here. We show a lot of pretty cool videos up here, amen. I think the nail in the head, remember that one, that Bible-based one? I forget what chapter in the Bible that's. But the nail in the head, the lady's sitting there trying to tell her husband, I have a headache. My head is throbbing right now. He's like, well, that's because you have it. And he said, no, don't talk. Let me explain. It starts here and it's radiating, you know, whatever it may be. And he's sitting there trying to, from his perspective, he sees there's a nail in his wife's forehead. From her perspective, she just feels pain. I mean, I'm sure there's a mirror somewhere. Hello. But she's not allowing him to explain his perspective because she just wants him to see her perspective. Like, I should have reversed the roles because that's something the ladies are quiet right now, right? They're probably mad at me, all right? The guy had the nail in his head, all right? And you know what he did? He took it out. Just kidding, all right? Moving right along here. We get frustrated when others don't see it from our perspective. Next, we think our perspective is the best perspective. Man, we both have two different views right now. My view is better than yours because you're looking at me, amen, and I get to look at all the lovely people here. But we all have different perspectives, and we think ours is the best. What other dangers come as a result of not understanding perspective? A lack of unity. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God is a promoter of unity. God is a promoter of having one accord, one mind, and having peace together. Psalms 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I believe all of us can agree with that, because in a home, you think about your home. When people are all in agreement, when people are all at peace, when there is unity, when you agree on what's for dinner, amen, when you agree on what you are going to do for a family outing, everyone's just happy and everyone's smiling. You know, one of the toughest decisions that my wife and I have to make often is on our date nights, where are we going to eat? And there's so many restaurants in LA, but I don't know why it has to be so hard. Is it Asian? Is it Italian? Is it Mexican? Is it Japanese? Is it Korean? Is it street food? Wow, so many options. Let's look at our budget. Okay, street food. Let's go here, man. And it's like, but the options are so many, and sometimes you're driving to street food, and halfway there, you see the trucks and everything. You're like, I don't think we made the right decision. I don't think this is good. And then the wife's like, I told you not to do street food. Let's go over here. There's no unity there. There's no peace. But when we dwell together in unity, I agree with this verse. How good and how pleasant it is. Amen? How good and how pleasant it is. Next, the third question that I'd like to answer about perspective is how do we dwell together in unity with differing perspective? How do we dwell together in unity with differing perspective? So the first question that we answered was, where does our perspective come from? The second question that we answered is, what are the dangers of not understanding perspective? The third question I like to answer is how to dwell together in unity with differing perspectives. First of all, when it comes to those alongside of us, when we have different perspectives of those alongside of us, our peers, acknowledge that others may have a different perspective than you in many areas. And here's the key, and that's not always a bad thing. I think sometimes right when someone disagrees with us, you're wrong, I'm right, so let's fix the problem. But in many cases, just because somebody thinks that steak is better eaten well done, I don't have a problem with that, or at least I shouldn't, okay? Or somebody likes it rare, or somebody likes beef raw, okay? I don't have a problem with that. Why? It's not the end of the world. We have a different perspective on food, but it's okay. But it may be other areas too. I actually spoke to somebody recently, and we're talking about child rearing and discipline, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. Hopefully I don't express that, but they said, you know what, I'm planning to spank my child and the same amount of spankings for everything that they do, because that's how I was reared. Listen, I'm not gonna fight over that. You know, that's not the way we do it in the school, right? And I may agree with that or I may not agree with that, but we don't do that way in the school, and I have reasons for that, but that's not gonna cause us to be at odds with each other. You know what I'm saying? That's not the end of the world, because that's his children, amen, not mine. So we must understand that just because we have different perspectives doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It can be. Next, understand that it is easiest to see life from our perspective. This is my point of view. I have a hard time seeing life from the patio right now. I can't, but I can see life from my point of view as a 37-year-old married to a wonderful wife with 5 kids. That is how I see life, and the only way that I see life. Realize it is possible to get a glimpse of life from another's perspective. How is that possible? Even though I just said it wasn't possible, I'm contradicting myself. By listening to them, by hearing them out. You know, it could be a single mom that's trying to raise her kids all by herself. I may not know what that's like, because I get the awesome privilege of having a wife help me raise my children. But I can understand where she's coming from by saying, so what are you going through? How is it like trying to work 40, 50 hours a week and then trying to cook right when you come home? I don't understand what that's like. Man, when I'm tired, I just go hide in the room and my wife does most of the stuff, amen. It's a good trick. Do it a couple times a week. But because I listen to maybe a single mom or a single dad or whatever it may be, I can understand their perspective more. And I can also relate to them by listening to them. Next, consider that there is a possibility that others may have a better view than you on a certain matter. There's many times, I have to be careful how I say this, I've gone to my leaders and I've suggested something and I was shot down. Boom!
boom!
And I felt like they even acted out like a shotgun. Well, what was that idea, Brother Charlie? Write that down on a piece of paper. Throw that paper up in the air. Boom! Yeah, how's that feel? I felt like that sometimes. They never did that, all right? But I felt like that. But you know what I had to learn? Their perspective may be better than mine, right? I may be looking right here, but they may be standing up on a higher plateau, seeing the whole picture and understanding that I can't have my way in this matter because ultimately it's going to hurt the church or hurt the school or hurt whatever it may be. Understand that our leaders or others may have a better perspective than us on a matter. It could be my wife. I'm not one of these husbands that think that I'm the leader and that my wife just needs to zip her lip and listen to me. There's plenty of times that she has better ideas than I do. I just ask her not to tell me so loudly, okay? All right? But we must understand that others may have a better view. Next, when it comes to those leading us, so we talked about dwelling together in unity with those that have different perspectives when it comes to those alongside us, our peers, and now when it comes to those leading us, understand that God ultimately places authority in their respective places. That's the key. The Bible says in Romans 13:1, I think I have it here, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained. God put Nebuchadnezzar in his place. God put President Trump in his place. God put Pharaoh in his place. God ordains and puts people in place of leadership according to his will. And we may not always understand it, and we may not always agree with it, but that's who he places for a specific reason. Most, if not all of the time, God has allowed leaders to have more of a full perspective than we do. I remember in the school, I wasn't always the principal. You had Brother Beck over me. You had Brother Esposito over me. And there's plenty of times that I've gone to them and I've suggested something or asked about something, and they weren't necessarily entitled to share everything with me, but what they did share with me, I was able to get a glimpse of, whoa, I didn't even think about it from that angle. I didn't even think about it. God gave them a better perspective. Why? Because they're the leaders. God does that. Next, understand that our perspective is valuable even if we are not in charge. It's not that I'm not in charge and I'm not the husband of the home and I'm not the father in the home and I'm not the pastor and I'm not the CEO or the boss, so my perspective means nothing. I just have to sit and follow and be a yes man, right? Nothing wrong with being an obedient person, but you know what I mean by yes man. But that's not true. Your perspective still matters. You just got to approach it in the right way. Here we go. Just because we disagree doesn't mean we are disloyal as long as we keep it to ourselves, right? This is a big one because sometimes, you know, you'll hear that someone disagrees with something or you are disagreeing with something that your leader is doing and you think, man, I'm disloyal. I'm dirty right now. I'm sinful. No, we're human. You can disagree, but just keep it to yourself. You know, there's plenty of times, well, I don't know about plenty of times, hopefully not, my wife disagrees with me. But I'm glad she doesn't like, hey, CJ, come here. Let me tell you what your dad did. Hey, Andy. Hey, Audrey. Hey, Sophia, Charlie's mom. Okay. He's, you know, come on. Come help me out. Hey, rallying everybody together. That becomes a problem. However, if she just disagrees, just say, you know what? I don't completely understand it. I'm not saying God made a mistake by putting him in charge. Maybe I made a mistake in marrying. No, I'm not saying that, but that's what the leader's doing. He's going to be accountable for that. We're going to move on. That's called loyalty. That's called loyalty, and it's not very easy. At the end of the day, the perspective of the leader is what should stand. So the father of a home, the husband of a home, the leader, the pastor, whoever God has placed for such a time as this as a leader, that shall stand. I'm going to give a funny illustration here, and I'll be done on time. Got about 7 minutes here. I remember that we saved a little bit of money. Miss Karen, your name's going to be mentioned in this, or I didn't ask you for permission, but it's actually a pretty good thing. And this is not, is if anything, is to make me look bad, all right? Which I don't know why I'm doing that, all right? But I remember we saved like $700-$800, some massive amount of money, right? Massive, and you'll see what I mean by that. And so by doing a field trip or something, and so I emailed Pastor Esposito, and I said, Pastor, we saved all this money. Man, all this money. I mean, we could build a new church building, amen? All this money. I want to take you and your wife out or whatever it was for a steak dinner. I mean, what a good, well-intentioned, godly young man. I want to take his pastor out. Now, he wants to go too, amen, but still, that's besides the point. And I said, let's do it. And I'm thinking, I'm waiting for that reply. Yes, sir. Oh, man, great, Chuck. And I'd love to schedule a date. That's what I'm looking for. I get a reply like at 10 at night, and it was like not what I expected. So, Brother Charlie, I appreciate you saving us $700. However, and he was teaching me something. Pastor was very into teaching the young preacher boys, and I loved it, right? Pastor Myers the same way. And so I remember he had this email, and it's something along the line. I haven't looked at that email since. It may have just kind of scarred me a little bit. But anyhow, I think I deleted it. Email Google, got rid of that email account. But it said, Miss Karen Rodriguez saved us like $100,000, no steak dinner. Rotten Sin saved us all, no steak dinner. All these like high dollar amounts. And I was like, I think we have totally different perspectives here. And I responded, you know, actually the reason why I hate email is because of this reason. I didn't mean to be defensive, but I'd say, all right, I just wanted to take out my pastor. That's all I wanted to do. And I think that was taken wrong. Met me outside under the tent. Went like that because I was taller than he was. Big old hands. I said, Brother Chuck, I didn't mean anything by it. I just want you to know my perspective, in essence. If I give you a steak dinner or let you take me out for a steak dinner over $700, what do I have to do for everybody else? Right? And that made so much sense. As a leader, I got that. I didn't see it immediately from where I was at, but later on I did. So I just took that money and went to have a steak dinner on my own and learned that valuable lesson. Took a couple selfies, Pastor. Thank you for the lesson learned. Man, this is so good. But and then I was unemployed for a little while, right? But anyhow, God is good. God is good. But I learned something, all right? And I didn't sit there and fight him over it. I used that illustration to be a blessing, but he's my pastor. He made the decision. Defer to the perspective of your leader if it is different than yours. But feel free to give your opinion. Here's the key. If it doesn't go anywhere with your opinion, if he doesn't agree or she doesn't agree, then move on. Don't let it linger. Next week, Pastor, I really think I should do this. I know Mrs. Rodriguez. Then give her 5 steak dinners. I just want 1. Okay, I'm not going to go off into that. Why? Because he made a decision. He showed me his perspective, and I'm moving along with it. The same with Pastor Myers. Plenty of times, he'll look at me and go, that's a great idea. And then we moved on, okay? Actually, let me get, no more illustrations, right? Next. Sometimes much of our frustration comes when we wish we were the ones in the position to make the final call or to run the show. My ear is not itchy right now. I just don't know how to stand here awkward, without being awkward, because I believe that's true. I think sometimes we fight and we bicker and we create problems because of our differing perspectives, mainly because we wish we were the ones that had the role, right, of making the final call. How come I don't get to choose where we eat? How come I don't get to choose what the rules are in the school? How come I don't get to choose what the rules are in the college? How come I don't get to choose what the theme is? What is the theme this year? Reaching them, teaching them, right? Changes every year. How come I don't get to have a say in that? How come we gave Pastor Myers a car wash, a year car wash? I wanted to give him a year of the Wiener Schnitzels, all right? How come I didn't? Was that Brother Ross's idea? I don't know. But it's okay. It's okay. We wish we were the ones that were in charge, all right? And that's something that we have to take up with the Lord, amen? Just what we have to do. When it comes to those we are leading, and I'm done. So we saw how to dwell together in unity with those that are with differing perspectives when it comes to those alongside us or peers, when it comes to those leading us. And here's for the leaders here. When it comes to those we are leading, if you are a leader, consider the perspective of others. And if appropriate, allow it to influence you. You know, as a husband, as I mentioned, don't have this mindset of just, you know what, lady, God created man, okay? And like, I don't know what wool man means or wool, what that means, but it was after man, okay? Maybe wool means after, okay? You were created to be my helpmeet, not the suggester of what we should do in life, okay? Just help me after I suggest what we should do in life, right? That's what you should do. I don't believe it ought to be that way. I believe that a harmonious marriage and relationship is a result of just consulting with one another. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another, amen? Fathers, I listen to my kids. That's not weakness. I'll ask them, what do you guys want to eat? Just to get an idea, okay? Just to get a general idea. Because I want them to know that their opinion is important. Because a lot of times, as a follower, because I've been both, if you feel that your opinions are not important, what happens? You lose, it starts with the letter C, creativity, right? And you lose involvement. Well, I don't need to say anything anyways. I don't even have to give any ideas, right? Because he's not going to listen to me or she's not going to listen to me. Or your kids feel like they're insignificant, which they are. All right, ministry leaders, please listen to your followers. I know in ministry in the school, I get so many wonderful ideas from those that are under me and those that are serving alongside me, and it helps me so much because their ideas are oftentimes better than mine. Employers, if you have any employers in here, people that employ people, right? Same concept. Conclusion, one of the favorite words of any sermon, all right? Realize that we will reap the fruits of the seeds we sow when dealing with perspective. That's it. If you don't want to follow along God's plan and you want to buck against authority, when you're in authority, God's going to give you a bunch of disloyal followers. God's going to give you a bunch of people that are every little thing that you want to do because it's the process of sowing and reaping, right? And it's going to happen. And then next, lastly, understand that it is God's perspective that matters most. And those in authority will be accountable to answer to God accordingly. So here's my mindset in closing. I do not like it when I have to disagree with those that are in ministry with me. There's been sometimes either Brother Jeremy or Miss Torres will come to me and they have a great spirit. And I'll say, you know what? I talked to Pastor Myers and that's not what we're going to do at this time. And they have a great idea. It's not a bad idea, right? And I feel bad. I'm like, oh, because I want to give people their way as much as I can if it's productive. But at the end of the day, I realize that I'm going to stand before God. And I can't just have this mindset of just shooting people down because of my arrogance, right? Shooting people down because of my pride, right? Because I am the leader. If God wanted you to be a leader, he would have put you as a leader. And as a leader, in some aspects of life, you're in ministry here at the church, I have to consider and understand that even though I have to shoot people down or just not go with their idea, I'm going to stand before God one day. I have to stand before God with how I run my ministries. You know, ultimately, Pastor Myers is going to have to stand before God for what he does. That's why we ought to let him lead. I'm going to have to stand before God for my family. Like, if I did something wrong or if I led in a way that was not right or godly, when I stand before God, God's not going to say, Charlie and Leslie, come together. You know, come here, honey. You heard your name. Come on. Get over here. CJ, you come too. All right, Lord, can you just talk to him first? I'll get the rest of the family. Okay? No. Charlie, leader, come up here. It's totally unreasonable how you did that. Can't believe you did that. And by the way, there may be a lot of bad ideas I come up with, but guess who's going to pay for that? Me. I'm the leader. All right, so let's give honor to him. Honor is due. Let's go ahead and stand together. This isn't, again, bombastic. I hope that it will help. You guys listen very, very well in church tonight. I appreciate that. I hope that this lesson will be a blessing. But let's all stand together.